You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 4th of August, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and I'm very pleased to say I think we've got our software fixed, so this is going out live at RadioAryan.com for all our live listeners and the folks in the chat room. I hope they can hear us okay. And of course, I'm joined by the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, Mr. Dennis Wise, back from an injury last week. I hope he's well and fighting fit and raring to go. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Well, I feel a lot better now than I did last week.
Excellent.
Excellent and controversial and extremely interesting debate this week.
Good stuff, good stuff. We had, I believe, Doc Savage lit a few candles for you, and we had people that were remembering you.
I take all blessings and candles.
Yes, indeed. Doc Savage is joining us next week with Chaplet Perilous. Yeah, at Radio Aryan. He's going to be producing Chaplet Perilous. I believe it's going to be on Mondays, straight after SS Britannia, three quarters of an hour for Catholics, because, you know, we like to provide a voice for all nationalist, all spiritually inclined nationalists here. Don't forget, we also have a Hare Krishna, but, you know, that's a Catholic podcast. We've got you, Catholic, here, Dennis. We've got Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, Orthodox Christian. We've got Billy Roper, Christian Identity. We've got all sorts here at Radio Aryan, and we're all united in what we're doing, basically fighting for the truth. And this is Truth Without Radio. And what truths have you been looking at this week, Dennis? I have a feeling they might be a little bit controversial.
Well, it might be controversial to you, but I've always stuck to my guns about the Klan. So even in The Great Story Never Told, I would tell them all then that it would never join them. But yeah, this is what's so fascinating about this one. It's not the total brutality in a normal revolution. Excuse me. You know, you might get 7,000 or 8,000 priests murdered. This was a law which was capital punishment for anybody receiving or giving the Catholic Mass. So it's another level. Not only that, I'd never heard of it. I'm not saying I'm the most devout Catholic in the world, and I've yet to meet anybody who had heard of it, which this then mirrors what I've been saying about Germany and Hitler. Because in just the same way, the leader who rose in this particular episode, he was later demonized. He was non-religious. He was greedy. He was power mad. And it's a norm these days to try and demonize a leader and steer them away from religion so that, you know, they don't have to tell 1.2 billion Catholics that we're going around killing everybody.
Well, it's certainly certainly new to me. We better tell the listeners that it's about the Mexican Revolution, and it's part six of your new series that you've been researching. I've been lucky enough to have a look at the promotional version tonight. It does include some bits about the Klan in it that no doubt we'll talk about later. But as you say, this is the first time that it's actually been put into writing that Catholicism was completely banned. The Mass was banned. Everything was banned, and they were killing the priests, killing the Catholics that went on with it. And this wasn't actually written into law in the communist revolution, was it? But this was a constitution, the Mexican constitution, that completely banned Catholicism. And unfortunately, it seems like that the Klan were working with these guys that were doing this. But first off, it started out that it was America that was fighting against Mexico. And this is the bit that I didn't quite get, Dennis. You start the film off and you've got this war with America and Mexico, and Mexico ends up giving Texas and a few other states to America. And then after that, America is funding Mexico and is on the side of this communist government. So how did that happen? How were they fighting against Mexico at one point and then backing them in the next?
Well, the key word is Freemasonry. I mean, the Americans down, I mean, I only found out just recently about the Lone Star State in Texas being a pentagram, you know, one of the Masonic evil Masonic symbols. There's a few areas down in that south, which was Texas in particular, was a Freemason state. Not surprising that Bush comes from that area. And when America fought Mexico because they wanted the land, the good land that they had, they offered them originally $30 million. But after the Masons had worked their way through to Mexico City, they actually collared them for $15 million, half the price. But it was always against the Catholic Church, because what people have to remember is that the international bankers, who are Freemasons, fund all these revolutions, and this one was no different. In fact, there was an instance of at least one battle when America supplied air support against these peasants with no guns.
Yeah, I saw that, and that was later on, wasn't it? Once they started backing this Calles government, this communist government, and this is what I don't get, Dennis, because you think of the Ku Klux Klan, you think, well, they were pro-white, they were supposedly anti-Jewish, so how come they were supporting this communist government in Mexico? How come?
But, well, same reason Pike's a member of the Klan, same reason Truman were a member of the Klan. It really is, to me, it's a Masonic organisation who hate, they say they hate Jews, you've got to convince me of that one. They certainly hate Catholics, and they certainly hate Negroes. So that, there can't be no denying. But at the end of the day, I always said it right at the beginning when some of these southern guys in America have go over, because I was comparing the racism of America to the racism of Germany, which was practically non-existent. I mean, you just didn't find Jews hanging from lampposts in Germany as you did find Negroes hanging from trees and lampposts in the southern states. So, I mean, for them people, what the point was to say, look, you can't be calling German people racist when people like America themselves are racist, and Britain as well, Churchill.
Yeah, you were showing the contradictions there, the doublethink, I believe, in that first series. But there is a German propaganda poster about the liberators, about this is what's going to happen when America liberates Europe, and it's got bombs and all this decadence. And one of the striking images from that picture is a picture of the Ku Klux Klan, which sort of says that the National Socialists were against the Ku Klux Klan. And you would have thought that they would have supported them because they were pro-white and they were about the Aryan race. So that's always, made me think, what's that picture doing there? Did he know the truth about the Klan or did he not know about them? And then you hear that the Klan were against Catholicism, and they're very pro-Protestant. It seems to me almost like that the Klan were like the kosher-approved nationalists of the day, and they were carrying on this Protestant revolution where they were fighting against the Catholics, whereas the Catholics were the traditionalists. If they'd been serious about race, they'd have been supporting the traditionalists, surely, and not supporting the communists. I do.
But like I said, I mean, to me, Hitler would never have joined that organisation. The neo-Nazis is a similar type of thing, which people have been misguided by the Jewish media again. So Hitler just wouldn't, he just wasn't that type of guy.
Well, I don't think he would have encouraged tattoos all over your faces. I don't think that's a particularly clever idea, or going out just beating people up, which is a caricature that you see of neo-Nazis from years back. But I would say that neo-Nazis, like modern Nazis today, are clean-cut youths, well-educated, well-spoken, that have a very strong love for their people and their fatherland. I mean, we've come a long way since these caricatures of the 70s and 80s. But this Ku Klux Klan idea, I knew that they were a secret society, so they obviously took some ideas, I think, from Masonry to form this society. So maybe Hitler was against them because they were a secret society, because they weren't really against the Jews, because they weren't really against communism, And maybe there was more to do with masonry to do with it than just them taking that secret society structure. Because why else would they be against this? Why else would they be supporting a communist government? I just don't get that.
Freemasonry, doesn't it? And if it is, like you said, even part Masonic, then they're going to side with communism. At the end of the day, secret societies are just not good because they're secret for a reason. And obviously Mussolini, Hitler and Franco understood this. Whereas today, people to look at Bush and Kennedy warring against it, these secret societies are not a good thing. And then they go and vote Bush in.
Well, I've also seen the pictures that you used. I mean, that there was a huge march, a huge Ku Klux Klan march. Now, I've always looked at those pictures and thought, yeah, fantastic pictures. Look at all those pro-white people, and they're marching in the arrow formation. And yet that was right at the time when they were supporting this communist government. So it's making me think, well, maybe that was, they were an escape valve for the government. And it was a controlled form of nationalism.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, whatever, the Klan had a reputation, if it was being used for this, to discredit the white race, if you like. A lot of people didn't like the Klan and what they got up to, burning people and burning people to trees and this kind of thing, and riding around in with white hoods. It's quite frightening to a lot of people. So consequently, I think the Jews used them, against the white race, or so.
You probably actually see and hear more of the actual atrocities that the Germans were accused of that they didn't actually do. You're probably more likely to have actually been carried out by the Klan against these Negroes. But I do have to say here that a lot of the time these Negroes had committed horrendous crimes, and they did have to have lynch justice. They did have to be lynched because they didn't have courthouses out in the wilds there. And if the slaves had just been freed, and if a group of them rape and kill a white family, the perpetrators had to be hanged instantly to frighten the other ones. So they didn't carry on with it. It's not as cut and dried as it would at first appear with the Klan. But wasn't Albert Pike involved with them? In some way, you were saying.
Well, I've read somewhere that Albert Pike was one of the founding members. The Klan came in after the Civil War when all the rights to the Negroes were all disputed, and some people in the South didn't particularly take kindly to that, and so this Klan was invented as a kind of a tourist organisation to go around at night with burning flames and white hoods. Listen, this is all the politics of it. My only argument was that I always said that Hitler would never have joined it, and that, for America to call, and even today, call Hitler a racist and all the rest of it, was just, to me, it has to be, I couldn't explain it any other way. And it might have offended one or two people down in the South there in America, which I apologise for on one hand, but I needed every bullet in my gun to make that documentary work. And calling Hitler a racist, when Roosevelt didn't even, for instance, invite Jesse Owens back to the White House, I had to say something.
Well, I think you've added more evidence to this by showing that they were supporting the communists. We've also got that propaganda picture, which shows that the National Socialists weren't particularly enamoured with the Klan at the time. And you talk in this video about the Knights of Columbus, which was this Catholic organization, and the Klan were against them as well. What do you know about the Knights of Columbus?
Well, this is a funny one, I was doing a radio interview a couple of weeks ago, and somebody, a viewer phoned in and asked about the Knights of Columbus, and they had absolutely no idea. And I said to him, I'm sorry, I really haven't researched it, and I couldn't really answer you in all faith. And he understood, which is fair enough. Then a couple of weeks later, this is the beauty of this job, researching and finding these things out, where the Knights of the Columbus suffered just as badly as what the clergy did, because they were Catholics as well. And what people have got to remember is this Calais government they brought these laws in or whatever to stifle and kill the Catholic Church. And what they did at the end of it, they just put them away. They can be brought out any time, and I'll bet you pounds or a dollar they will be brought out one day, because we know the New World Order is against Christianity. I mean, someone said to me about the Catholic Church on YouTube this week, and they said, I'm sorry, Dennis, I love everything, you know, a lot of what you say, but I just can't agree with the Catholic Church, because to me, you know, I've researched them, and they're pagan. And I said to him, if the Catholic Church was pagan, do you honestly think Freemasons would go after them? The only reason they go after them is because they're Christian, and they've suffered more than even the Orthodox Christians in under Bolshevism, because that battle with the Catholic Church and Freemasonry going on for centuries. Point is, now at the moment, there is no Catholic Church. It's the Church of Lucifer, and people have to, distinguish the two, because it's no longer a Catholic Church. You can't even say it acts like the Catholic Church, because it doesn't.
Well, I think people get mixed up. They think something's pagan when really what it's all it is just showing a European influence, a pre-Christian European influence. And the Catholic Church would be a bit strange if it didn't show any pre-Christian European influence there. I think people misunderstand the National Socialists in this way as well. They're looking at what they were doing. It's, oh, that's pagan. They're using runes. Well, runes are a pre-Christian European alphabet. If they're interested in their heritage and their ancestors, then of course they're going to be using runes. But this constitution that the Mexican government had, they wrote it into the constitution that to burn down the church, destroy everything, ban it all, and then they didn't actually implement it. And then this communist Calles government, he came in, he implemented it. They massacred the Christians, they burned down the churches, and then they eventually came to a peace treaty. And but this is still on the books. They stopped enforcing it, but they still have it on the books.
It hasn't been taken away. No, they can come out at any time.
So they could still bring this in today, then.
Well, I'm sure one day it will appear. I mean, they didn't put them in there for no reason to start with. I mean, they put them in there dormant, but they didn't put them in there for no reason. Obviously, Kelly just thought, this is my time. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going to have some fun and games. And he brought them out to enforce them. What people don't know, I never heard of the Cristeros. I mean, at the end of the day, there's something like 38,000 Cristeros died. 58,000 government officials died, or soldiers. It was one kickoff. And to say that the Cristeros rose and did no weapons, you know, but like I also say in this, this part, that in desperate times, history or fate just seems to throw one guy up from the pack. And, just like Germany with Hitler, this guy, as well, a general who was been in the revolution, didn't like the government of the time and just resigned. He had a brilliant army career. Can't pronounce his name at the moment.
Is it Enrique Gorostieta? Enrique Gorostieta.
That sounds about right, yeah.
I've got it written down.
So, you know, he's working in a salt factory, perfume factory. And then to come to him. I mean, the Cristeros were obviously tough fighters, but they weren't an organized unit as such. And this general came on board, organized them into an undefeated fighting unit, got weapons, and the women played a big part in that, took weapons from battles as well, till eventually the Cali government, you know, from thinking this is going to be a joke, within 3 years had to come to the table and renegotiate. Just an incredible story. But what's amazing is that it's just been wiped from history books. And I know why. I do know why completely. It's been wiped from history books. It's just like what I talk about Germany has been wiped from history books. You've got to understand, people who's listening, whether you believe it or not, listen, if I didn't believe Hitler was a Christian, I would never have got this far with my documentaries. The fact is that in World War II, it was a war against the Christians against the Jews. Freemasonry. Same down here. And the last thing the Jews want is history books to tell the real story, because they're still doing a genocide against us and they still have a huge agenda, even though they're almost complete. So they want it as tight and as secret as possible, even to the point that the movie which was made about this particular episode, Glory to Power or something like that, never mentioned Freemasonry once and never mentioned communism. Can you believe that?
Huh. Well, I was just thinking that. I mean, it also puts paid to this lie that Christianity is all about turning the other cheek. You've got all these pictures of these priests and they've all got their gun belts on and bullet belts and all their weapons, and they're all ready to go to war. And when we got to the Second World War, it's just as you were saying there about how it was a war against Christianity. It was a culmination of all these other wars against Christianity, starting with the Protestant Revolution, French Revolution. Spanish Revolution, this Mexican one, the Russian one, in all of them, it was all about getting rid of the priests, destroying the church, and replacing it with the state, which is what they wanted to do with communism. And now they've taken a different tack. They weren't able to wipe them all out. So what they've done, they've come up with this liberation theology in South America. Yeah. And what they've done is they've infiltrated the church, and with Vatican II, they've turned the teachings on its head, so that the people that are now going to the church are learning all about human rights and humanism and forget about all these
traditions.
So that people that before would have been against the government and would have been taught that traditional ways are being taught all this anti-racism, love the homosexual, all this nonsense that goes
Pope Francis
right against it. Pope Francis, and he is the king of the liberation theologists. He was always a part of this liberation theology movement. And that's where it began, was in Brazil, and they had a big meeting in Mexico in the 70s. They've had all these conventions. And I think it's really big in South America. It's like a mix between communism or Marxism and Catholicism. And now it's taken over the whole of the Catholic Church with Francis as its head. It's like this is what they've done since the Second War, isn't it? They've infiltrated it and completely corrupted it.
Well, it's like explaining to somebody on YouTube. The last time, you see, people think of the Catholic Church as when it's infiltrated. A lot of people don't even realise it's been infiltrated. All this paedophilia is a Freemasonry activity. So when the church was infiltrated after the war, suddenly you get a rise, you know, within a couple of a decade or so, you know, of paedophilia, you know, with the priests, whereas before it was hardly, you know, worth mentioning. So at the end of the day, you've got to separate the two. And like I said to this guy, I said, look, you know, in its original state, the Catholic Church has always been the enemy of Freemasonry. And Freemasonry has chosen the side of evil. And the original state of the Catholic Church was to fight it, the good v. evil. The problem is that the last time it was in the original state was probably between 1934 and 1945.
Well, I was just thinking of these other ways that they've changed it as well, that E. Michael Jones talks about with Freud and psychoanalysis, and you go to your shrink and you tell him what you've done wrong, and then the shrink just says, oh, well, that's okay because you had some problems in childhood or whatever. Keep on doing it. Whereas before, people would go and make a confession to the priest. So you had a... With the Catholic Church or with the Church, you had a system which catered for when people did wrong, and it told them that they should be feeling wrong and they should do penance for what they've done wrong. And now that we've got the state that's taken over that role with these psychoanalysts, which are saying, well, no, you don't feel bad about doing wrong. Carry on doing it because it's not really a sin. And then before, where you would have had the church saying it's a sin to miscegenate, it's a sin to marry with another religion. I mean, all the churches would have said this, that you shouldn't be unequally yoked. Nowadays, they would encourage it and tell people that they'll get an extra blessing if they adopt Negroes or if they marry out of their race. So all the teachings have been turned on top of their head. But when we had the church used to keep all these things together. It played a very important role. You had the state, which was the political side, and then you had the church, which was the spiritual side. So that the church would take care of one area of life, and the state would take care of the other. And Hitler understood this. He understood the importance of the church in its own sphere of influence. And when he was against the church, it was because the church had come out of that sphere of influence and tried to interfere with politics. But that was the only time.
Exactly. And use them praise for left wing or communist. So, you know, Hitler had no qualms whatsoever throwing him in a camp because to him they were trying to bring the right down.
Well, he didn't interfere with the church. He didn't expect the church to interfere with the machinations of the state. And what we have today, we have the Church of England with the Queen at its head. The Queen is a head of state. You've got in America, you've got the churches that don't get their funding if they talk about politics. They don't get their tax exempt status. Yeah. So it's all controlled. You've got the Archbishop of the Church of England who is preaching from the United Declaration on Human Rights. He's not mentioning Bible verses. He's not preaching from the Bible. He's repeating stuff from the UN Declaration of Human Rights. See, this is what they've done, I think, Dennis. They realised that they couldn't defeat it. They couldn't wipe the people out. I mean, even when they tried it in Russia, they tried to wipe it all out. But as soon as communism fell, the church just bounce straight back. So what they've done instead is infiltrate it and then corrupt the teachings from within, basically.
Well, in this particular part, I mean, you've got to think, what is the mindset behind a group of soldiers riding into a church on a horse, right, catching the priest, preparing for mass, and then stringing him up and hanging him? I don't think it was because of, you know, the Catholic Church and the Spanish Inquisition many years ago. It was the fact that these are Luciferian, they hate God, they hate Jesus, and when they see somebody like that particular priest in this part, they'll hang him just for giving mass. And that's only 80 years ago.
Well, I think greed plays a big role in this as well, didn't it?
It really does.
The same as with the dissolution of the monasteries. I think it was Henry VIII, the one that did away with all the monasteries in Britain. It was all greed, wasn't it? And if you look at this Mexican Revolution and what went on afterwards, it was greed. They wanted to take the riches away from the church. And when you look at I look at Protestantism and I look at the churches that they have, there's no majesty to them. There's no glory to them. If you look at an Orthodox church, I mean, that's magnificent looking inside an Orthodox church, all those paintings. Catholic churches used to be the same. The Catholic churches are still on the outside, are absolutely glorious and magnificent. The church should be rich and wealthy. That's where the money should go, to glory to God, to glorify God.
Well, can I just say this then, while we're on the subject, that I feel I am a downtrodden citizen, third-rate citizen, because I can't, as a Catholic, take a job in the top job of the police, the top job of the army, the prime minister, and every other top job going in this country. Catholics are not allowed. And so I've been discriminated against. So I want my rights and compensation, and I'll pick up my cheque every month, along with the Jews.
I don't think we're ever going to see that. I don't think we're ever going to see anti-Catholicism on the books.
You know what I'm trying to say? Catholics are not allowed, even Blair has to wait till they finish being prime minister. They're not allowed in positions of power.
Yeah, I believe the Prince Harry or William, they're not allowed to marry a Catholic. It's written into the laws of England.
That's right.
That we can't have a Catholic on the throne.
I can't have a princess.
We can't say that Catholicism never did any wrong before the Vatican Council.
Well, listen. It's like, you know, the reason they brought the Spanish Inquisition out was because of the Freemasons. They had to go secret themselves to get anywhere. Because if they hadn't gone secret themselves and Freemasons were suffering by it, we'd have been in this position 300 years ago, trust me.
Well, they set a good example, I think. I mean, the Inquisition and testing these Jews to find out if they were just making it up and still following the Talmud and burning these Jewish heretics and witches, Jewish witches. I mean, they set a good example fighting this war, these Mexicans fighting this war. So this idea that Christians are completely cucked and throwing open their churches to the Muslims, this is a completely new phenomena. When you look at it before, I mean, Christians have always fought back, and the Catholic Church did set a good example. But I do think that there has been corruption. I mean, if you look from 1066 onwards, I think that's when the church split. You got the Orthodox split to the east, and you got the Roman Catholic Church in the west. We've had good popes since then. We've had some very good popes since then, but we've also had bad popes since then. We've had usury that's come in. So it's not as if they were perfect. The actual structure itself, though, of the church, where it got people together to build these cathedrals, it organized the food for the poor, the monasteries, people could work there and learn there. The actual structure, it was such an intrinsic part of society. And we don't have that anymore. And because we don't have it anymore, we have all this poverty. We have people that are relying on their benefits. They've got no sense of worth. And all of this sort of thing used to be, it was the church that was responsible for it. It wasn't the church that was making all this money and ripping people off. It was the church that held society together and spoke truth to power, that spoke truth to the king. It was the church that was supposed to be on the side of the poor. Of course, you've had bad people, but the ideal and what's written down there in the Bible and in the church law that they are supposed to obey, you can't go wrong with that. That reflects the European soul. It doesn't reflect the Jewish soul or a Middle Eastern one or an African one. It reflects the European soul. Christianity is, I mean, it's an essential part of being white. It's an essential part of Europe.
Said. Yeah. And Freemasonry is against everything Christian. Weddings, anything that keeps the family structure solid. Because if you haven't got a family, if you are left, in desperate times and you can't turn to a rock solid loving family, then you're easy pickings. And that's why they want to destroy this, the old basis of the family, which Hitler never ever stopped talking about.
We knew that the family was the central unit that everything else is based around, isn't it? The authority figure of the father that provides and protects for his people. I mean, that's what the state is supposed to do, and the head of state is supposed to, it should be the king. I mean, it was the Führer in Germany. Well, it should be the king, like the father of the nation.
Can I just interrupt you just before I forget something? In intriguing story of the week about the baby who wasn't allowed to go for treatment in America. Remember that one?
Yes, Charlie Gard.
That to me, when the parents have raised £1 million themselves, it's not going to cost, the country or national health a penny, and yet the state say, no, you can't. That is perfect example of how the state owns the children. When you sign that birth certificate over, you're giving up the rights to your child, you can raise it, etc., but the state will have the final word. And that, to me, was a prime example where everyone's going around shaking their head. Oh, why can't I let this baby go? Because the state didn't want it to go. And if the state don't want it to go, don't go.
Well, that's the difference with the Charter of Human Rights, isn't it? Before, when we were subjects of the king, everyone was a subject of the king, but the man was responsible for his own household. He was responsible for his wife. He was responsible for his children.
The man's always his castle.
Yeah, if any of them committed a crime, it was the father that or the husband that was held to account for it. The wife and the children couldn't, because he was responsible. But in the same place, what he said goes. What he said had to go. Man was a king of his castle, and on the larger scale, you actually had the king with his country responsible for them. It's because every man has a desire to be the king. Everyone wants to be king on his own territory. And every Englishman was a king on his own territory. The police couldn't come in. They used to have to wait outside. If you were wanted for a crime, they had to wait outside until you came out. Certainly couldn't bust the door down. Unheard of. Break him to a man's house to drag him out. You couldn't do that. You had to wait until he came out. And they would starve the people out, they would wait outside. They literally would wait outside.
I'm sure they did.
No way would they kick the door down like they do now. They just got no respect for anyone. Well, we're just numbers to them.
Look at Bush. Yeah, well, I'm just going the rules that they're enforcing while we're asleep. It's communism. But, I've explained this many times in my documentaries. It'll be interesting to see how long they're up for now with the ADL, by the way, won't it?
Yeah, YouTube seem to be having quite a purge at the moment. and seem to be working with ADL, don't they? Putting stuff off of there.
Yeah, somebody excuse me, mate. Speak to the day. I said, show me the line. Show it me.
I think Twitter seemed to be doing the same. Boat sinker. Yeah,
I agree.
I noticed has gone from Twitter. I hope he's okay if he's still out there.
Well, this general, by the way, like I said, he was at the end of the Jewish media demonized him, said he was only doing it for the money. Actually accused him of being a Freemason, whether he was or not, I don't know, but fighting on the right side. One or two other things. Power ambitious and all this kind of carry on, and yet we find the letters which are to the contrary. So it's just like I said, this Jewish, it does my head, it really does, because when they're on a mission to destroy white Europe, which white Christianity falls under, then they're not going to tell the whole story. And to me, it's as plain as daylight, but I have trouble with some people, you know. But like I said, if I didn't believe what I believe, I would not have got this far with Adolf Hitler and all the Spanish Revolution and all the other revolutions all tied together for this same agenda. What's going on anyway?
Well, that's the difference, isn't it? I mean, you can look these things up on Wikipedia, or you can hear about them on the television, but they don't link them all together.
They don't add up. No, they don't. Well, they don't need to link up because nobody sees the link. It's like right at the very beginning, I said that when Churchill wrote this about this woman who he commended writing about this Jewish revolution, if he'd have mentioned Christianity instead of civilization, we'd have all fallen, got it then. But because he just mentioned civilization, then it just goes over the heads of everybody.
I think
I've never liked Churchill anyway.
No, well, I was listening to a really good David Irving lecture, really? On Churchill the other day. He was saying that he tried to assassinate a diplomat. I believe it might have been a Mexican diplomat, and the reason why he wanted to assassinate him was just so that he could blame Hitler for doing this, and not because the guy had done anything wrong, but just because he was nearing retirement, so he was expendable. And Churchill wanted to have him assassinated, and America said, no, we're not going to go along with this. Hitler was.
Well, he's one of the reasons why London is today, an English minority city. Because he was a big fan of Kalergi. He did a speech about Kalergi, and every single prime minister since Churchill, 1945, has known the agenda. So they're all traitors.
Well, they tried to portray him as having saved the British Empire, but I don't see...
stuck him on the back of a fiver.
How did he save the British Empire? It's all gone. It all went, thanks to Churchill.
As well.
dreadful man. But he was desperate to portray Hitler in this evil light. He wanted to encourage Hitler to bomb London. He wanted to have this diplomat assassinated. He was just deceitful.
I saw one of his speeches during the week about the peace offers and what they did in Germany. They went through several means, Switzerland, Swiss government, American government, Vatican, to try and get Britain to the peace table. And Churchill was giving this speech, and it was like, I've had a bullet and I put it in him. I mean, people died because of that. Well, I suppose it weren't just him, were it?
Well, I think he was one of the main ringleaders. I think you've done well to expose just what these leaders got up to, Roosevelt and Churchill and Stalin, and how they were all working for the same people.
Can I just say, right, this never ceases to amaze me. When Roosevelt is the one who brings out the dollar with the pyramid, I have Lucifer on top, and yet he's not the bad guy. It's obviously he's working for the bankers and this Masonic thing what goes back 2,000 years, but he's probably one of the most popular presidents America's still got. In fact, I can't believe he's on Mount Rushmore.
Well, that eye on the pyramid, though, I mean, the Catholic Church uses that as well, don't they? The eye on the pyramid.
Well, they have them all, don't they? I've just said I'm not infiltrated.
It can mean different things at different times, isn't it? I mean, the American dollar says in God we trust. I mean, the American nation, it was a nation at one point, it was all North Europeans, it would have been a North European nation, but it was founded on the Bible and on God and on Christianity. That's why it says, in God we trust. And then they stick this symbol of the Masonic god on the dollar. And it gradually gets subverted. And obviously get the war with the South, and then this Mexican revolution. All these revolutions and all these wars have got two things in common. They all put these usury bankers in power. They all put Jewish bankers in power, and they all attack the church. They all try to destroy the church. In horrific ways.
Funny, Mexico and Soviet Union funded the communists in the Spanish Revolution. There's a link, complete round-the-world link, and people, you know, have got to wise up because it's happening. And, you know, you can see it's happening, and you can see they're not opening their mouth and telling the truth for a reason. This is why. They don't want 1.2 billion Catholics turning around saying, oh, we're going to be killed tomorrow or whenever.
And another of the things that surprised me, really, in those pictures, I mean, a lot of these Mexicans were white back then. These Christians, a lot of them were white.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Obviously, especially the priests. And you just don't think of that now. You think of Mexico as all being mestizos. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the people that were fighting on the side of the communists were these mestizos.
Oh, yeah. Were these people I don't even have to look it up.
Yeah, without the heritage, without a racial heritage, that were just jealous of what the white people had, wanted it for themselves, wanted to take what the church had. You'd have to be non-white to be as vicious as some of those people are in your video, Dennis. I mean, they're doing horrific things to these churchmen. As you say, hanging them and flaying them, butchering priests.
Well, hanging from trees like apples.
Yeah, these are good people that have given up their lives to work for the poor and for the church.
And they stayed during that fight. They could have left.
Well, it's like
you want to leave the flock.
It's like the Jews, Dennis. Saying that they did the same thing in the in when they took over Jerusalem before Titus invaded and the temple burned down. Yeah. They were doing the same to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They were pulling their guts out, tying them up, slicing them, disemboweling them, doing all these horrific things. Yeah, exactly the same as the Bolsheviks. And here we have it going on in Mexico. To the church, these maybe you know they're like these rituals. You know, we talk about the blood rituals that the Jews do and the human sacrifices that they do. I mean, they like to torture these people to death in black magic rituals. Doing that to a priest, I mean, that's got to be part of it, hasn't it? It's like with the Tsar when he was murdered, it was a black magic ritual.
It's funny you should say that because I honestly believe there's people out there who do not believe in black magic. But that's going to be one of the parts of this Masonic. It's going to be proof. It's going to be proof of black magic rituals, rock solid proof. And it has to be said, it's real. You know, there's no question about it. It is real. It's been going on for thousands of years. People might shake their head, and you know, but they're just living in cuckoo land.
Well, people might not believe in it, but that's not the point, is it? It's people that are doing it to us that believe in it, that go along with it. It's like that film that says the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince the world he didn't exist. And it's the same thing with these wicked, evil people. They convince the world that the devil doesn't exist, black magic doesn't exist, these rituals don't exist. And then when they do them, people just don't, it just goes through them through one ear and out the other. They don't realise what it is that they're seeing or what it is that's going on. Like the abortion holocaust. I mean, that's a human sacrifice, baby sacrifice.
That is a sacrifice, yeah. I don't care what anybody says.
And yet people just think that that's okay, that's a woman's choice.
I tell you what struck me, and all by the, you know, I mean, I'm just throwing things in, I don't want to upset your routine, but I saw a photograph of the tower in London, which was on fire few weeks back, and I compared it to the Wicker Man fire of the Druids when they put the sacrifice to the human beings inside this massive straw Wicker Man. And when I thought about it and I looked at the tower as all these humans in as well, it looked so close. I'm not saying it was, you know what I mean, the link, but you know, these things don't surprise me.
I'm not so sure the Druids had the Wicker Men. I think it was probably more likely that the Britons inside their wickerwork houses being set fire to by Caesar and his troops. There's not too much evidence for that in Britain, this Wicker Man thing. But I think in the Middle East they had human sacrifice and they had these rather ingenious ways of carrying it out.
Yeah.
Didn't they? There's that Moloch figure that they had, and these babies would go rolling down it into the fire, this big brass idol that they had. They had quite a few ingenious ways to sacrifice people to their gods. And in Carthage, they found all these remains of babies and dogs. Carthage, I think it started out, it was Phoenician when it started out, and it wasn't that bad. But then move on 1,000 years and it's full of human sacrifice. Yeah, they found various different strata of it. And also in a place called Petra, which is in Idumea, just outside Judea, which is where these Edomites, Idumeans lived. And again, they've got all these evidence of these Tophet, they call it, these human sacrifices, child sacrifices. So they would sacrifice a child and ask these idols to fulfill their prayers for them. And they had the same thing in Carthage, and the people, it was the same people, basically, Canaanites, who are today's Jews, that were in Petra, and they were also in Carthage as well, before that got destroyed in the Punic Wars. But yeah, they've got the evidence of it, this human sacrifice. That's who it was that was doing it, these Canaanites, who then moved into Europe, once they were kicked out of Judea, moved up into Khazaria and converted and integrated with these Khazars, then moved into Europe and interbred with the Poles and the Russians, then into Germany and on into England in, what was it, 1066. That was when they first got to England, along with Norman William the Bastard, the Norman Conqueror.
Conqueror. But
it's these same people, and they've got the remains of these human and child sacrifices in Carthage and Petra, and sure enough, as soon as they start coming into Europe, these tales of human sacrifice follow them. That's why they were kicked out of England. That's why they were kicked out of loads of countries. It was because Christian children would disappear and they'd turn up drained of blood. They'd been crucified, they'd been circumcised, castrated, all their blood had been taken from them. These horrific acts had been carried out on these children. But the same was going on in Carthage, same was going on in Petra, same people. It's just that they're called Jews
today. It'd be interesting because, like I said, I've got some rock-solid proof about the black magic.
Well, we're interested to see that. Have you got any plans for part 7? I know people haven't seen part 6 yet.
Well, no. It's as usual. I mean, I just end up doing, you know, what I think I probably think I'm going to do, but I end up doing something else. But, you know, it's just out of work and it works fine. So I just let it get on with it.
I couldn't think
of anything for a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden I fell on this Cristero story and it just lit me up.
Well, it fits in with everything else you've done so far, isn't it? Showing these revolutions and the Masonic links to them. And that's the thing we hear about different revolutions, different wars, but we don't know that they're all linked in together. That's what people don't realise. Or else they think they're positive things.
War existed.
Yeah, well, people think they're positive things.
Control the
media,
this is a thing.
I bet they look back and say the Mexican Revolution was a great thing and it brought in a separation of church and state. I bet the Mexicans look back on it as it being good or try to portray it in a good light, the same as they do the French Revolution.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubting the power of faith. People like Calais underestimated it to the extent where he had all the arms, he had all the money, and these farmers and peasants who didn't have any weapons, but yet were willing to die for a cause. Faith, it's a big thing because you will go over that wall if you do believe.
Well, yeah, if you believe there's life after death, and this is why these Muslims are such a threat to us, because they still have a faith. Their faith might be a false one, and it might be in a false god, but it's a placebo, isn't it? The fact that they do have this faith, it means that they're willing to blow themselves up. They're willing to commit suicide to achieve their cause. And you think if Christians had that faith, I mean, we have a faith in a real god, we would just conquer them in an instant. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We were given dominion over the earth. Subdue the earth and have dominion. And yet, instead of doing that, we've given it all to our enemies. Spent all our resources on helping our enemies out.
There's too many people in this world want the fame and the fortune and the money and all this kind of carry on, which all is a tempting package to this Luciferian religion. To me, you know, offer me what you want, I'd never go to Hollywood. You know, I wouldn't.
Well, that's at the very heart of it all, isn't it, is materialism and the politics of envy and saying, look at this guy over here, he's got more than you. Why don't you just go and take it
not
from
interested.
Him?
Not interested. Yeah.
You're not your brother's keeper. Go and take it from him. And that goes right the way through from communism all the way up to the Labour Party, saying we need to take from the rich and give it to the poor.
They never suffer all of these top boys.
It's always, you know, take it by tax. We've got to tax the corporations. We've got to tax the businesses. You put tax on the businesses are just going to put their prices up on everything that you buy from them anyway.
The biggest
scam. And all that money is going to go to the banks. Yeah,
20%. 22% it's a blanket tax across the country. And you can only reclaim it back if you're VAT registered. And there must be millions upon millions upon millions who are not VAT registered. And I've charged it 22%. Never get it back. It's a scam.
Well, they just put it on everything. Yeah. Really, what needs to be stopped is the usury system. You need to take interest out of it. But you'll never hear the left talking about that. You'll never hear them saying we need to get rid of interest. We need to get rid of usury. And this was the default Christian position for 1400 or 1500 years.
Fought it for thousands of years.
Usury was as bad as murder. And you lost everything. If you were caught engaging in usury, you lost the house, you lost your business, and you lost your place in the afterlife because the priest wouldn't absolve you of your sins.
When
they had that power over people, that was worse than being given a capital punishment, worse than being killed. You're not going to get your place in the afterlife. Serious way to stop people from ripping people off with interest, but that's at the heart of it all. But instead,
it's satanic.
They'll just say, take what the other guy's got. He doesn't deserve to have more than you. They don't tell you how he got that. They just say he shouldn't have more than you because we're all equal. We're all numbers. We're all exactly the same. The tabula rasa. And this is what I was going to say earlier with the Charlie Gard. They're just looking at him as a number. Not looking at him as he's the child of that family. He belongs to those parents. He's just a number. It's the same as we are all just numbers to them, economic units that are going to make a certain amount of money in our lifetime and generate a certain amount of cash for the economy. That's the way they look at us. Whereas if you had an ethnic nation, our worth would be purely by the fact that we're all of the same flesh and blood, which is priceless. Yeah. Priceless.
Well, the baby incident was just, you know, to me it was brutal state ruling. I mean, it was bad enough with the holidays. When you take kids on holidays, you're fined.
Well, they think they own them, don't they? This is just human rights. Human rights.
You sign it on the birth certificate. That is why driving license is in capital letters and other things are in capital letters because it's not you, it's your imaginary twin. It's a fascinating insight to all that.
Well, it's a person, isn't it? A corporate person.
I call him someone else myself.
Well,
I look in the mirror and abuse him every day.
legal jargon, isn't it? But they've changed us from being subjects of the king to being citizens. And by lying to us and saying, we'll give you these human rights, we had all those rights anyway. You know, the Englishman's home was his castle. He ruled over his family. Nobody could do anything in his home. It was his law in his home. And yet they did away with all of that and said, you'll have human rights now. We'll give you these rights. We had God-given rights before then. Now we have our rights given to us by the state. The state can just
take
them
away.
Rights,
I forgot to call them now. But they can take them away just as a whim. But in America, it's slightly different, whereas... once you accept that social check, then you fall into that category. But until then, you are supposedly free.
Well, I've never understood how that people can say, well, these rights are self-evident. I don't think we have self-evident
privileges.
Rights. We have self-evident duties. You know, your duty, you're given everything when you're a baby. Your duty is to pay that back to your parents, pay that back to your parents' ancestors, pay that back to your people. That, you know, that's what you should be seeing, is you've been given everything. And it's your duty to provide all of that for the next generation, the same as it was provided for you. But no, we're told, look around you and you see that it's your right to take. No, it's not your right to take. It's your right to give, your duty, because that's what was done for you. And you need to improve on everything that we've got now so that what you pass on to the next generation is an improvement, not taken away from what we have now. We have less now than they had in, you know, 70 years ago. They were far better off than we are now. 30 years ago, people could buy a house with 10% of their annual income on a mortgage 30 years ago. Now
it's true.
50, 60%. More than that, people can't even afford to buy a house nowadays. Each progressive generation gets worse than the last, where everybody just thinks about what we can take. And all of that is this Marxist idea of greed, rather than based on the nationalist idea of duty and the Christian idea of duty and love your neighbour as yourself.
Exactly, which is non-existent today. My neighbour never says hello.
I never get it when people say, well, white nationalism, it's not compatible with Christianity. It's based on the most fundamental Christian law that there is. Of love your neighbour as yourself. And that's what your neighbour is. It's someone who looks like you. It's not your next door neighbour. It's your neighbour.
Sounds as well.
Yeah, it's your extended ethnic family. And that's what white nationalism is loving your neighbour. Dennis, we're coming up near the end of the podcast now. Do you want to let people know where they can find your work if you're still on YouTube?
Yeah, well, I think Twitter keeps banning us every couple of weeks. Facebook is another joke. But on YouTube, I'm still there at this moment in time. And I've got a little series running for my subscribers, which is called Essential Viewing, because I do that much research and I come across all these videos that I feel that some of these videos must be watched. So if you want to subscribe to a channel on YouTube, you'll find me, don't worry.
Okay, and of course you can find all our stuff at radioarian.com. We do have a Bitcoin wallet and we do have overheads, so anyone wants to donate to us, that's gratefully received. Thank you for coming on, Dennis.
Okay.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, for more Truthful Out Radio for you. We hope you all have a great weekend ahead of you.
To Radio Arian.